talk about women for a minute, because we all know men and women are very different. And a good wife is a cheerleader. I don't know if you girls have heard that before, but good wife is a cheerleader. Guys need to be cheered on, believed in, and encouraged. In Proverbs 31:23, it talks about an excellent wife. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now, but it doesn't attribute to him, it attributes to her. The excellent wife produced the elder in her household. In other words, she treated him like an elder, even when he didn't look like an elder, he didn't behave like an elder. He rose to that level of being an elder because she believed in him. She spoke over him. And ladies, men will rise up in an atmosphere of respect. Husbands will become who God intended them to be when we, as the wife, are believing in them and encouraging them and cheering them on. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, Dino told me, honey, this is the 21st century, so you don't have to call me Lord. You can call me Awesome One.
That's just
all joking aside, well, ladies, you might be saying, well, if Abraham was my husband, I could call him Lord. Jeez, he was the richest, one of the richest men on the earth. But really, could you? If you really looked in the Bible and saw on two occasions, Abraham was fearful. I don't know if you remember that, but Abraham became fearful that the king would take his wife Sarah for his own and kill him. And because Sarah was so beautiful. And on both occasions, Abraham lied and said, Sarah's my sister. She's not my wife. And some of you know this. Abraham lied. And when the king took Sarah into his home, and some really bad things almost happened. But Sarah submitted. She didn't start yelling at him. She submitted. And only God was able to come in and avert that and get her out of that place. Now, Abraham lacked courage and kept lying, but in spite of all that, Sarah still called him Lord. So in the midst of his stupidity and foolishness, she still respected him. She still submitted to him, which is it's just amazing. But God honored that. He brought her out of that. He protected her in the midst of her husband's foolishness. She submitted to him continually and was respected him, that God was able to move in that situation. A good wife is a good cheerleader. I can tell you men's sports events, pretty much all the football teams, they all have cheerleaders. And that's a big deal because they help the men move on no matter what. If they're winning, they're cheering. But if they're losing, what are they doing? They're being in a negative situation, they're being positive. They're saying, defense, defense, hold that line. They're not saying, you big sissies, you missed the ball again. No, they're continually, they're cheering on the team, regardless if they're 0-20, if they have no points, they're still cheering that team on. And that's what we're supposed to do as wives. We're supposed to be cheering our husbands on. And sometimes we may not feel like that. I mean, you got 4 or 5 kids, even little ones, 1 and 3-year-olds running around. You're like, that's all you're thinking about is parenting. But I try to make an effort. When Dino walked in the door before I left for work, I would say, go get him, honey. You can do it today. God is on your side. I'm praying for you. And just encouraging him as before he even walks out that door, because in our home, there should be a peace and heaven on earth and an atmosphere. But once they go out that door, they're entering into corporate world where it's totally different. Where at times I could see Dino as like the dragon slayer. You know, he's out putting out fires, he's slaying dragons, and he would come home. He would come home from work and I'd be like, yeah, you're home, you made it through another day. You know, but he would have came home and I'm like, oh, you're late again, dinner's burnt, you should have been home earlier. That's not being his cheerleader. Go, honey, go.
It's important. It is, because guys will give up all their security for a little bit of praise. You know, we will do superhuman feats just to hear someone say, "You the man." You know what I'm saying? We might even do something really stupid to hear that. So, but we, you know, Jody's absolutely right. We need someone who celebrates everything, okay? And who says those negative things in a positive way. And then us guys will become that elder, we'll become that Abraham, except we won't lie, right? In an atmosphere of belief. It's so important. So let's just reemphasize that again. Ephesians chapter 5 is the key to having the marriage of your dream. Alright, number three. Reason number three why the goals in Ephesians chapter 5 are God's perfect plan for your marriage. Reason number three is this. Because the roles in Ephesians chapter 5 disarm our sin natures and keep them from destroying our marriages. Okay, we all have a sin nature. Galatians chapter 5 talks about it. Talks about being selfish, having jealous outbursts. But we have to crucify that sin nature, because left unto itself, our sin nature is not capable of being married to anybody. Okay? In fact, when you read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through 33, and you don't like what it says, that's your sin nature. That's your flesh right there. Okay? And we have to crucify it. And we have to put it down, because when we crucify our sin nature, then what comes out is our Christ nature, right? All the fruits of the Spirit, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience, okay? That's what is the result. So now let's talk about why the roles that are in Ephesians chapter 5 for men and for women, why are they different for men than they are for women? Okay, they are different. And the answer is pretty simple. Adam and Eve both sinned, but they sinned in different ways. Okay? Eve was created after Adam. Remember that? But they were both in the garden. They were both there, we know, because the Bible tells us she took a bite of the fruit, she handed it right over to him. So he was there. But as the devil slithered up and advertises, you know, forbidden fruit, forbidden fruit, there's something that Eve didn't do, okay? She has a complete conversation with the devil. She eats the fruit, and she never once talks about it to her husband, okay? She could have said, excuse me, let me just talk this over with Adam, and I'll be back to talk to you about it, okay? But she didn't. She made the decision completely on her own, and she went ahead and she approved, and she said, okay, now, there's another thing that she didn't do. I don't know if you noticed this when you read it, but she didn't talk to God either. Okay, so how hard, all she had to do was say, hey, you know, I'm gonna talk to my husband, we're gonna talk this over, and then we're gonna get with God, and we'll get back to you, okay? So here is where you see, this is where God reveals women's sin nature. Okay, and I hope you guys don't, you ladies don't throw anything at me when I say this, but the women's sin nature is prideful independence. Okay, thinking that you can make all your decisions on your own without including your husband. Okay, and so that's the women's sin nature. And now I'm going to switch it over to men before I get hurt, okay? Men have their own sin nature. We do. And think about this now. Adam was created before Eve. And in Genesis chapter 1, God commanded Adam to have dominion over the earth, right? He said, you have dominion over the earth. And that have dominion, it means to subjugate by force. Okay, it's like to rule over the earth. So when God said, have dominion over every creeping thing that creeps over the face of the earth, God was preparing Adam for what was about to happen. Did you ever think about that? And all he did was sit there while his wife has this conversation with the serpent, and he's completely checked out. Right? And while Eve has this entire conversation with a creeping thing, okay, did you get that? God just told him, have dominion over every creeping thing. And his wife is sitting here talking to a creeping thing that's coming against their plan that God has for their lives. And here's his response. I wonder what's on ESPN. And so men's sin nature is revealed right here. The man's sin nature is to be passive. Now don't throw anything at me, guys. But that's our sin nature. And so what the Bible does, what God does, is he comes here, and as a result of this, in Ephesians chapter 5, he says to the ladies, he says, you're going to have this extra layer of authority over you. Okay? I want you to listen to your husband. You two are equal. You submit to one another. But I don't want you to make any decisions on your own. Okay? Don't do it without me. Just like Jesus, submit your plans to your husband. And acknowledge his role in this decision-making process. Okay? And when a woman will accept that extra layer of authority in their life, that is crucifying their sin nature. Okay, make sense? And so then the Bible comes to us passive men, and it says, because you're passive guys, you're going to get this extra layer of responsibility over you. Right? Think about that. He says, lay down your life for her. Sacrifice for her. Nourish. Cherish her. Like she's your own body. And this is what crucifies the men's sin nature, the passivity. And when men actually live out that role that's laid out in Ephesians chapter 5, they become godly men, and they become the leaders that God called them to be. And instead of allowing the devil to slither up into their homes and destroy their marriage and destroy their family, okay, these guys rise up and they chop the devil's head off in Jesus' name, and that's the way that God planned it to be, okay? And that's God's perfect plan, and there is no plan B, because plan A is completely perfect.